But keeping it at a minimum of five lets it be five. But if it wants to be more than that, the bylaws could fix that. Does that sound okay?
Sounds good.
Mm-hmm. Would we want a maximum or not?
No.
Yeah, they can work that out.
I mean,
out.
Now, I don't think that's a real
okay.
They're having trouble getting five. I don't think there's much of a danger. 10 or 12.
And so, and then the sections after that and the voting have to do with once five or more nominations have been submitted, then you do the ballot, and each vendor may vote for five or fewer candidates. I guess we could put a parens or more pursuant to 0601.
How many vendors are there now?
Smith. 20. Wait a minute. I want to say 24, but that might be the number of operations. Are there 24 different people?
At least 20 something, because I remember we were working on that bill, 20 something. Operations, there are like 40 plus, so 24 something.
Okay.
Yeah, we went to the vendors on one of our meetings and 24.
Okay.
How many of those are federal sites?
Oh, I can't. Most of them. I can't tell you off the top of my head.
Okay.
We have the state office building in Lincoln, and we have a couple other.
The city county building here in Omaha.
Yeah, this and that. But
I have another observation, Pearl. The time for days that they will meet, I think they mentioned each month. It's better to say at least four times a year.
Under the committee?
Yeah, under the committee.
Okay, let me see. It says, meetings with the executive director. The committee shall meet with the executive director of the state licensing agency and his or her designated representative each March, June, September, and December. Either the committee or the SLA may request a special meeting. And yeah, that's not good to have in rule because there's a...
I remember like a year ago you had to cancel.
Right. Four times per year. And I will double check with Terry to make sure any, you know, all of these revisions are, to make sure he doesn't have any problems with any of these. And if he does, then I'll let you all know the reason why and we'll go from there. Thank you, Carlos. Okay. Besides tightening up the requirements for things that they're responsible for, the other big area we've changed is training. And so we addressed it a little bit, but not quite as detailed as what we actually are now doing. So here's the section, it's 1101. The SLA shall provide training to all blind persons with the capacity and desire to operate a vending facility program, including on-the-job training in all aspects of vending facility operation. Such training may be a part of the general rehab program, and all training must be part of the individualized plan for employment of the candidate and must be developed on an individual basis. And I want to insert here, the prospective trainee will be evaluated for blindness and math skills necessary to accomplish the objectives of section 003.02 during a three-day evaluation period at the Commission Orientation and Training Center. Training will be provided in areas identified as needing further instruction. Examples of further instruction include, but are not limited to, the following. Cane travel, braille, computer, life skills, shop, bookkeeping, math, and vending repair. And I guess I'd rather have mobility than cane travel. That's a little broader. Okay, that's the insert. Then we go back to what you have read. The training for each individual shall include a probationary period not to exceed 90 days. After the individual is placed in a vending facility, during which time there must be written evaluations of progress on at least a monthly basis at the end of this probationary period, subject to satisfactory results of the periodic evals. The SLA shall issue a license to operate the vending facility in accordance with applicable rules and an operator's agreement. Is that acceptable to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay, and the only other I have, well, I have two notes here. One is checking to make sure we ended up with two appendices here. One is the vending agreement, and one is, what's the other one, the license. Maybe we just...
Was there two or just one?
Maybe it is just one.
I think so.
Okay. And, oh, I know what my point was. To make sure that we actually referred to that agreement somewhere in the text. And did you check, and is it? Okay, great. So that one's... the other one is needing to address in rule pricing when there are multiple vendors in one site. Mm-hmm. And I don't think we ended up... I don't know that we did that. Now, this isn't with regard to a competing non-blind, but where we've got... And that's true at the U.S. Post Office in Omaha. There are a couple of blind vendors on different floors.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a real problem in Lincoln, too, right now.
Is it?
The last couple of months. Mm-hmm. A lot of unhappy people in that building. Yeah.
Which?
In the State House.
State Office
State
building.
House
okay,
building.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pricing, underpricing each other and that kind of thing. So I don't think that we actually ever got that in here. Of course, the vendors have very strong feelings both directions, and will argue heatedly both directions.
Well, down there, it wasn't the price of... you'd have something on the machine and say 75 cents, and they'd have to put 80 cents in to get their things out. Of that nature.
Yeah, now that has to do with good practice,
yeah.
And if that vendor is not...
Or coming in there and saying... people go there and eat, they take their lunch, and they come in and say, are you going to buy anything in here? They say, no. Well, then you can't stay.
Yeah, those kinds of problems. There's
those
a lot
are real
of
problems that
things
have to be
that
yeah.
I don't know what we can do about, but... But gosh, I don't know, this note...
And what would we say about pricing in the...
Well, see, the two camps, one camp says competition is good for business and I should be able to set my prices wherever I want. The other camp says you undercut me no matter what I do and it's unfair competition.
What's the criteria for having multiple vendors in one location?
It's actually something I had. The ones that we have, they've been there a long time, so I don't know. Robert, do you know anything about what criteria would be for why those were set up that way?
Just to give more jobs to people. Mm-hmm. People employed.
That was my understanding, too. So long as the expectation was that both vendors would, in fact, earn meaningful income, then two people would benefit instead of one.
Yeah.
I've heard that.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So is there anything followed up on that? I mean, if they're both incomes are, so that neither one of them make satisfactory amount to get rid of the second one? Or
well, or to I mean, generally, if there's a vendor who has a site that they aren't making enough money on, they would, we, you know, give them an extra, like some of the vendors, all of the vendors along the interstate have several places because you couldn't make enough money from one. So, I guess I don't know enough about the law and what's, you know.
My guess that one solution might be to help one of the vendors move to another location where it is more of a trade. We've done that in some cases.
Well, is this something that we can do in the rule, or could we? Would that be a policy kind of a thing, or what? What do we?
My note says that we need to address in rule the pricing when there are multiple vendors in one site. I don't know who said we need to, or if it came to me in a dream, or who knows what.
Randolph Shepard Fair.
Should be the rule, because they won't always, they won't never solve that problem. They will keep arguing about.
I have a suggestion on this one. It's a slight diversion from the law, but what if on this one you let me go back and talk to Terry Harris and see if we can come up with some wording that he and I are comfortable with. Email it to you for five of you, Maya. And if you all approve the, I mean, that your motion would be today to endorse this or to pass this draft into a hearing draft, including the wording that we come up with. Now, if we can't come up with anything, or we come up with something that you all aren't comfortable with, we can wait on this rule. But if you had a motion that let us do that step and insert it, I mean, partly because there is no public here other than Fritz, and so it's not like we're doing something behind the back of all the public that are here. Is that acceptable?
I guess in just interjecting what my thoughts are, if you're going to have two sites in one building, which, I mean, if you have franchises, I mean, that's why they don't have franchises across the street from each other. It's not a McDonald's in the same parking lot. That I would think, unless you're going to do tough things and say, well, this truly isn't workable for two of you, so we're going to get rid of one of you, which... You know, Bob said if you can find a suitable place, but I don't know how many suitable places there are, that my thoughts would be you'd have to have some kind of price, you know, collusion's not the right word, but some, but you know, if you're...
Yeah, standards or something.
Because the object is not to... If you have something that probably doesn't make sense for them to be two sites, if they're independently sited, then the price differential is not going to be that... big a deal, unless
right.
It's dramatic. I mean,
right.
It's a nickel. If they're far, you're not going to walk an extra 10 minutes to save a nickel.
Right.
But if you know, if you got to walk 45 seconds, you know, maybe you would. But if, you know, presumably they're far enough apart that
And that's a good point that they never talk about is, you know, because some buildings, boy, it really is quite a difference, even within the same building or complex.
I like your suggestion, Pearl, and I'll make a motion to that, that you and Terry Harris work that out and then email it to us.
Is there a second?
Second. Now, what is the motion?
Okay.
Whatever Pearl says.
Somebody's going to say that.
What she wanted us to agree
move,
upon.
Move the, to approve Rule 3 on the condition that the director in consort with Terry Harris.
Mm-hmm. The director.
Mm-hmm. Arise at a proper pricing formula.
Now, may I ask what you think about grandfathering? I mean, is this something we would impose upon existing multiple vendor sites?
Well, once rule happens, is it going to grandfather students who have been doing a different thing? Is it going to grandfather? I mean,
that's true. Right? It's just going to be the fact. You're right. So,
well, it's something that they could rectify.
Mm-hmm.
It's not something that has to tear the entire business apart. It'd be a simple, simple rule to comply with.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay.
So is there discussion on the motion? Did you want it restated or anything, Jan?
I sure would like to have. Yes, I would like it restated.
Okay, so.
I made a motion, but you
articulated it.
Yeah.
Move to approve Rule 3 on the condition that the director of the commission in consort with the, now what's his title?
The administrator.
The administrator.
Thank you.
Arrive at a proper schedule, pricing schedule.
Well, we arrive at language.
The language for the chapter.
Language, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that we're going to.
No, for the proper language.
Which would be.
Relating to.
Sent to us for. What?
Final approval.
Final approval.
Now, is that illegal to?
I don't know.
I don't know if this is something, and should I ask somebody?
Well, it doesn't become effective until, if we don't approve, then it's nullified anyway.
Right, I know I made the suggestion, but unfortunately I keep thinking. I do know that you're required in public meeting to.
That's right, you know, and see, that was what.
Okay, this is only a draft, though.
I know. But this step is to make it go from working draft to hearing draft.
I think what we're going to just have to do is get the changes and have a quick conference call.
But we can't really afford to do that because we don't want to have too many of those in a year.
Right, yeah. And that's not a public meeting anyway.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
And we still have Chapter 4.
Right.
That's correct, and we're going to need to deal with that as soon as it comes out. So why don't we not approve this one?
I withdraw the motion.
Well, Dorothy made the motion, you seconded it.
So. it hasn't been voted on.
But we haven't voted, so we're still, we're okay.
So then we have to meet again before the first.
Well, we're going to need to deal with Chapter 4 anyway. Mm-hmm. We've approved two of them for hearing draft, and I think in order for us to stay legal and public and all of that.
I'm sure sorry I neglected that, because this is the oldest rule, and it's a shame that it sits, but
that's pretty important to fact
do something
point to,
that would be counter to the law.
We don't want to do that either.
I withdraw my second, if I need a second.
I withdraw my motion.
Okay. Rats. Rats. Oh. Maybe we don't need to address in rule.
Part of why I raised the issue about putting it in policy. But then when you guys were talking about, how important it is as a part of, the whole scheme of things.
I'm going to look at my calendar and see who I was meeting with that day.
Okay, and while you're doing that, I think in the interest of time, maybe we should. If that's not a problem, move to the rest of the things on the agenda so that we can.
Okay, I found it.
Okay.
It was a vendors committee meeting, and I guess I almost think, even though we were thinking about that at that time, we were discussing it, this is something that I think we could have a rule without that, and we could develop internal policies that relate to that. Because there's certainly, policies in the BE program that have to do with how we do business, that not everything is spelled out in the rule. So.
Well, what was the thing that we said in the one of the other chapters that would be spelled out in commission policy? Or could we say something like that so that nobody would forget about it?
That was the compensation or the payment for travel.
Right. And we also had something about pursuant to the bylaws of the commission. Okay, that's a good idea.
Pricing in multiple vending
designs. Has the vendors committee there, that five member, have they had a position on this?
It went to all the vendors. There wasn't a committee meeting in order to vote and take an official group decision. They had opportunity for input. And they meet December 7th, so if they put it on the agenda, which they set their agenda, so, you know, they certainly could do that. Vending facility equipment.
I mean, is it something we could defer to the vending committee, I mean, to decide?
See, that's what I'm kind of thinking. Just don't put it in the rule. Even though my note to myself said address it in rule, I think it could be, that's not something that came from the law. It came from the point that this is an issue.
Probably they can't come to a conclusion, so they need someone just to...
Right. But we could address that as an agency. Robert, did you have some insight?
I was going to say, it's really kind of a counseling advisory issue,
yeah,
a legislative or a law thing or a rule thing.
I think it's something we could set as policy within the program and in conjunction with the committee, because, you know, most everything we do set up goes to the committee and we discuss with and make sure. So I guess I'm not sure I would even add a thing. I was just glancing through the headings and where would we add it, and I don't really see. But I think, I mean, this doesn't prevent us from developing relevant policies as long as no policy
contradicts
yeah. something that's here.
Well, if we need to add this rule later, I mean...
Yeah, we could always add it later. I would rather do that than hold this whole thing up, since this was the oldest one. And I'm sorry, I guess I'm getting tired, but it's... I know I'm the one that said it in the first place, but the more I think and talk through it, I guess I'd rather move forward with this rule.
And just have that the pricing at multiple vendors, the same location policy will be set by the director and the BEP committee.
Only I can't see where that would really go, and that's...
Oh, I thought there was a section of pricing of... You just had on your notes.
The stuff about income has more to do with the vending machine income. I don't really see... I mean, there's really no heading in here that talks about income setting or any of that.
Well, then I think it just goes to general policies, because every policy is not in the rules anyway.
That's right, because there's nothing in there about, you know, what kinds of sites there could be or any of that.
What they're going to sell at the sites.
Yes. Let's do that. Well, sorry.
So we'll make a motion that we adopt Chapter 3. Send it on to... the next level stuff.
Second.
Okay.
Thank you.
A motion and a second that we send Chapter 3 to the next level. Is there discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you.
That's a roundabout way of getting
it. Yeah, you know, it took me a while to figure it out.
We weren't thinking clearly for a moment.
Yeah.
And now that it's almost 10 till 4, I'm saying we're probably not going to make it by 4, but... Well, sure we are. Okay, now we on old business, the materials update, I again apologize, there may be some things that people didn't get. But we have we went over the radio talking book response. We have received information concerning the some of the things that are gonna be down further on the list of things, so we won't deal with that. Does anybody have anything that we've received that we need to do anything about material wise? I would like to comment on the situation. Like, I mean, I'm glad that Senator Bourne came and you know, had a tour and liked what he saw and all those kinds of things. I would again request that when or if there are things having to do with governmental people or senators or whatever, that we know ahead of time rather than afterward. And you know, so that if one of us or whatever could participate in that, we have the opportunity to do so.
Oh, okay. If you said it before I lost it, I apologize.
There wasn't much time.
No, but it was set up a few days ahead, and I didn't know that that was something we should be doing, so I apologize.
Okay, and you know, I'm let's see.
You'll help me remember that, won't you, Dan? We'll do our best.
And I did send the communications about the radio talking book correspondence to, except for the, I guess I didn't send the letter from John Fullerton, but otherwise I did send information to Tanya Cook in the governor's office, because as we talked about last time, we had the situation with the governor's office getting the letter, and they, it would have been a good idea for them to have been in touch with us about it, but there was that confusion. We got material concerning the grant procedures and stuff, and really, I feel kind of bad about it, because Bill Brown did ask us to make some kind of comment one way or another on things, and I don't think we ever officially did.
No.
And, you know, it looks to me like that that information seems reasonable, you know, for what needs to happen, what the procedures ought to be. It made sense to me. Did anybody else have any trouble with that?
No, I didn't.
So if we...
You want me to communicate that to him?
Yeah, and we, you know, I appreciate the effort that he's gone to with that stuff, and we just really, I think, kind of dropped the ball back in May even on that. Well, or at least in July, because I know we got it in May the first time, and, you know, he had to re-deal with it, and that shouldn't happen, and I really do apologize for that. And I'm glad that we're getting the transition newsletter. Yes, it's good to get those kinds of things, and the articles that are being used in the philosophical discussions. I'm glad we're getting those.
May I interrupt on that point?
Sure.
With all this other stuff we're doing, we've put those meetings on hold till after the first of the year, and then we'll reassess. And they were very interesting and fun and very good things, but it's just been unbelievable lately. So, if you don't get any for a while, that's why, because we aren't doing those meetings for a while here.
It's like, Barbara, Pearl, I need to be leaving. I'm going to feed my wife downstairs in a couple minutes, so it's nice to spend the day with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
So nice.
Thanks for coming by.
Thanks,
Robert.
Yep.
See you. Appreciate all your help.
Thank you, Robert.
And I will once again say my usual thing about bios. So.
About what?
The biographical information for the website. So there, I said it again. For those to whom it's relevant, please do something.
I've got my name.
And I think the...
Whose is it done?
What'd you say, Robert?
I haven't gone to look, and I.
There was a poignant pause there. I just thought I'd let.
Okay,
it
so mine, because I sent in a bio.
How am I going to answer that?
Okay, so it's, and I sent one in a long time ago, and it just occurred to me that I haven't gone to the site, and I didn't know who you were referring to.
I think I'm the offender.
Oh, okay.
I was thinking Bob wasn't on there either. I was thinking the only ones on there.
I haven't seen Bob on
Barbara,
there.
Barbara, mine.
I don't even remember.
Did
I mean, it was a long time ago.
Kelly, or
it was a long time ago. It was. I was embarrassed after
the last one.
Well, the last one. And,
I'll tell you. Yeah, and it could be some of you sent something and either we somehow missed it or lost it, or Kelly in the you know, process somehow. So let's do this. Jan will check the website, and she will email all of you regarding what is on there. Because I almost think last time I looked, it had text about Barbara Walker, and it had Maya's name, but no text, and it didn't have anything on anybody else.
And Dorothy, but, I believe, might is be there.
I said Dorothy.
I know it should be, and I could be wrong about...
Yeah, I read Dorothy's mind.
I think it's there.
Oh, you do? Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Well, okay.
So now we'd send them to Kelly. Because I think I probably would have sent it to Jan. Because I know I sent it after the July, because I made a point in my bio of... Because I remember it was in reference to all our stuff with RTB and stuff, and I mentioned something in my bio about
I keep all my emails, so I'll check and see if...
Okay, so maybe you could just let everybody know who...
Well, I can send it again if you don't have
it. Well, I know mine needed.
Oh, okay.
So I know that for a fact.
Okay.
Okay, and we weren't supposed to do anything about the Medicaid infrastructure four-year planning process thing, were we?
No.
Okay.
I'm on a committee. If there's anything I think you need to know, I'll let you know.
Okay. So that's it as far as the materials thing goes. And we've done the budget, haven't we?
Yes.
And the CPQ, we have, we received the... follow-up information and the letter that Carlos and Bob wrote to Rich Starr. And I have a question about the CPQ information that we got doesn't have anything about the administrative staff.
That's right. And that was a decision that I made. Given the budget situation, I do not believe that it's responsible to... the request with submitting those as an agency request is an agency effort to reclassify positions. And I think that with the numbers of people that are contract covered and, you know, basically direct contact with people, it made sense to... we really needed to be responsible to those staff and get the results and get personnel to move on it. And I do not believe it's responsible, at least till we get a federal budget, to proceed with the... Actually, the only ones omitted were the two deputy directors.
I guess I'd like for us to... discuss that a little, because it seems to me like when we first started out with this whole process, our goal is to change the situation for everybody eventually, as well as we can and that kind of thing. But we won't have necessarily a whole lot of opportunities. You know, there will be at some point a federal budget, and if we don't really aggressively pursue what it is that we're after, nobody's going to turn around and say, "Well, it was really nice of you to not do that while there was a situation, but now that that's over with, we're glad of that."
You're right. They won't, but I will initiate when I feel like it's reasonable to do within the budget. Then I will initiate and say, okay, there's two more CPQs you have. I want you to give me a decision now. And I feel very strongly about that. But I would not just let it die. You know, I do agree with the purposes that we did the whole project, and I agree with all of it, and I want to get their determination. But not yet.
Because once they've decided and they've agreed to give it more points or whatever, then you still don't have to do it, but...
Well, actually, that's something we learned in this process. I was told by one of the personnel people early on, and I know I told all of you this, that we would have the option whether to implement or not, you know. And so that's part of why we proceeded with the whole project. Then more recently, what they told me is that you're required to implement for contract covered people. You know, whatever the termination is, you're required to then do that, okay? Which we have done. For rules covered, you either accept the ruling, you know, as, okay, if it's an increase in the position. You accept it, or you decide not to. You don't get to set it in the drawer and wait 6 months or 12. Well, you can wait 6 months because you can wait to give any raises for a 6 month. It's basically a probationary period, really. But if it were longer than that, for example, then you couldn't. You know, if you didn't, you have to go ahead and change the position or just decide not to. You can't then later change the position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Did I say it clearly?
Yeah, so you had to take budget into consideration. You just couldn't get higher designations. It doesn't work that way.
I'm still confused because is there a time frame after which the whole process would have to start all over again?
You cannot submit another CPQ for 6 months within a 6 month period of it having been reviewed, but there isn't any real reason to redo the whole process. It seems to me that a reasonable thing is waiting to request the answer on those till, you know, give us, please God, Congress, give us a budget here pretty quick, you know, when we really do have some cash flow and can move forward. You know, of course, the federal budget almost always comes through eventually and all that, but I don't feel comfortable with that. We're in a time of war. Anything could change in terms of the funding. I know there are requirements within the law about what goes to voc rehab, but they can change the law, and I'm not comfortable with proceeding on that.
I guess my perspective is, sure, you know, things can always change, but if we take the stance that we will hesitate, I mean, I think we know what happens to, oftentimes, to those who hesitate, and what's the worst that could happen? I mean, if we went ahead with this, if the federal budget didn't happen, that would affect a whole lot more than just this situation, and this situation, federal budget or not, would be a relatively small thing in the bucket as far as what would go on. And I guess the message that I have wanted us as the governing board to give to people is that our intention has something behind it, and that is that if we have a chance to improve things for staff, that we will take risks and that we will take a chance. Because, you know, when we went and talked to the legislature, we didn't say, well, you know, this would sure be a good idea, you know, but if it doesn't, you know, we'll understand if you can't do it. We didn't say that. I mean, and part of my character is like that, to say something like that and to get kind of apologetic or whatever. But I've been trying not to do that with these kinds of things because the rest of the world is already willing to do that to us or whatever. And so what we need to be saying is that this is important for, you know, for people's lives, and the message that we send in going ahead and doing things that you know, the whole staff can look at and say, okay, you know, things like that usually, I mean, they start somewhere, And I don't know, to me it shows confidence in where we're going, and if, you know, something happens with the budget or whatever, what good is it going, I mean, how much difference is it really going to make in real terms if we don't follow through and complete what we started on this, as opposed to the difference it can make if it looks like we got scared to finish.
I'd like to comment again. I'm not saying not finish. I'm not saying, you know, being scared at all. I think that I've taken great risks on behalf of our staff and of the consumers we serve. And I think there's a point about confidence in my decisions as well. I think this is a call that I, you know, it's a piece of this whole project that is just put on hold temporarily. It is not put off the table in any way. I've pursued the project. I've had countless meetings with people to, you know, hammer through this business. And so I also think there's something about a message of confidence here.
There comes a time every once in a while you do have to take a step back, just because you can look at the handwriting on the wall and what the situation is, and I think you're in a position to do that. And by using your judgment on something like that, I support you in that. It will materialize. May take a little bit.
Well, and it's perfectly understandable because you look at these budget shortfall numbers every day and have to figure out, you know, where these numbers are going to come from. And you know, we've got the process started. We've got most people in the CPQ. The process already been completed, and so I understand what Barbara was saying, but I agree with Pearl that, you know, some, that's why you get paid the big bucks and to make those kinds of strategic calls. And I don't think we should second guess you when it, you know, on those, when you want to make the tough calls. I think we should always be, you know, as Barbara's saying, you know, prodding you and giving you encouragement, you know, to do what's right. I mean, basically we're talking about get everybody paid what they should be paid, but there's a big picture that has to be thought of. And
well, I'm not intending anything, you know, that I say to be a non-vote of confidence or to, you know, suggest that there hasn't been a lot of time or thought put into things. I guess if anything, I'm saying, you know, I understand how that feeling happens, because it tends to be the way that most of the time I think about things or even do things or whatever. So it's not that I don't have empathy or even sympathy for that kind of position. I just know that we have a tendency, and I don't know, one of the things that I have tried and then continue to try to do is to step out of that mode when it comes to some of these things, because that's how we have come to where we are now with a separate agency, and that kind of thing was in taking those risks even when they did look monumental. And I guess I don't want us to come to a certain point and say, well, yeah, we have confidence and we have everything except to expect um
Well, I would say, from a practical budget standpoint, we're still, the legislature's going to meet in January, and guess what? They're going to be looking for more budget cuts. And we're going to have to fight this this battle again, and that it's, we may be coming to Pearl and say, Pearl will know herself that you have to come up with budget, real budget cuts, and talking about, cutting back services, laying people off. I mean, ugly, horrible things like that, and those all things must run through her mind. And so I think, as far as the big picture, I'm willing right now to say Pearl's made the call, and I know these are the tough kind of calls, and it's for.